helping you to get the most out of your business. Check our website for more details. PhoenixAnalystsLimited.com.
Jobs in Kent.com.
Looking for fast, reliable web hosting? Or maybe streaming your own station's content? Then look no further and head over to all the W's simplecast.co.uk. Easy web streaming. That's all the W's simplecast.co.uk.
Follow us on Twitter at Channel Radio 2 Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to the Business Bunker Extra Radio on bizradio.co.uk and channelradio.co.uk/2. It is, where's the date? Oh, it's a Friday, the 11th of October. Sorry, totally out of sync. Obviously, I had a couple of weeks off and now I have no idea what day it is. I cannot believe, and I know we always say about time and everything, but this time last week, it was the apprenticeship graduation, the Kent and Medway apprenticeship graduation in Rochester Cathedral.
Which looked fabulous.
Which was amazing. Yeah. And then 2 weeks before that was the Tech Expo.
Yeah.
And it's like, how has it been like two weeks already? So yeah, we have had a couple of weeks off, sorry, because we had a couple of events to go, which we're going to talk about in a minute. But we're back. We've got some great lineup of guests coming up over the next couple of weeks. We want to, as always, hear from you, the listeners. So do give us a tweet. Let us know how your week's going, how you're doing. It's the last quarter, guys. It's the last thing. There's only about, I don't know, 90 days till Christmas or something like that.
Oh,
no, less than that, is it?
That, I reckon.
Yeah, there must be less than that now.
Yeah.
Must be 70.
Something like that.
72. I don't know.
I'm surprised you're not.
I know.
You're the one that's normally like in March, how many days till Christmas?
Well, is that because Halloween is first, and Halloween is actually Lucy's more favourite holiday. Okay. She prefers Halloween to Christmas.
Yeah,
I don't know what that's all about. But
I'm going to Google how many days.
Yeah, go on. I'm going to find out how many days it is. But do give us a tweet. Let us know how your year's going and how you're looking for the final quarter. Is that final quarter?
Final quarter. So 75 days to Christmas.
75. There we go.
Which means it's like 82 days till the end of the year.
Wow.
Less than a quarter.
I'm really looking forward to that, actually.
At the end of the year.
I'm hoping then refresh. Yeah. And I'll be feeling more energy.
Preset.
You can always give us a call in the studio, say. We've got just Gemma and I going to do lots of talking about business and HR and law and stuff. But we're always happy to hear from you. So give us a call in the studio on 01233 220035, 01233 220035. And as ever, if you'd like to come on the show as a guest, we do have some guest spots. Or if you've got an event coming up that you want to shout about, give us an email at bunkerextra with an X at gmail.com. So yes, a couple of events have been happening over the last couple of weeks. So 2 weeks ago was a Tech Expo.
Yeah, which looked great as well.
Which actually went, I know you missed it.
Yeah.
It went really, really well. We have had some amazing feedback. Mm. The speakers were fantastic. The day went really well. And you know what the most important thing about that event was, about creating the right atmosphere? It wasn't huge. We didn't have hundreds of exhibitors and thousands of people coming through. It was niche. We had 30 exhibitors. We had 5 keynote speakers, 4 workshops, 4 roundtables and networking over lunch. We had about 200 people come through the doors or in the room. But that was what was needed. It was nice. It was a lovely atmosphere. And business was being done and conversations were happening. You know, sometimes everyone is always obsessed with numbers. Mm. I know there's got to be 200, 300, 500.
Quality.
It is so much, especially these days as well, because there's so many events going on and people, you have to choose which events you go to that were going to, you know, work for you. And this type of event just worked really well. In fact, I had one of our exhibitors, Supersonic Playground, and they phoned me a week after Tech Expo to say thank you so much that they had actually just signed up a client from the expo, which actually earned them 10 times the amount they paid for their stand.
Wow.
Which is amazing. Yeah, which is, you know, fantastic. What, that's exactly the type of thing that we're looking for, making those connections. You only need that one client.
Exactly.
To make it worth your while. And also, it's not just about the date itself. It's all the, you know, the pre-event follow marketing, all the follow-up and everything like that. So really, really pleased. The speakers were fantastic. I think Brian Sutton from Microsoft literally blew everyone away. I mean, he's obviously, his seminar was packed out. It was the most popular one. And he was talking about AI and 5G and all that type of thing, but really stuff that you could relate to. So he wasn't going all technical and all, you know, this is why Microsoft's so amazing and all that type of thing. He was, you know, giving all the basics, and he was really forthcoming. And afterwards, everyone wanted to speak to him. He was like, you know, the celebrity in the room, as it was, over networking. Everybody wanted to get hold of him. But it was, you know, it was really great. And all the other speakers and all the other workshops, you know, everyone learnt from them. And unfortunately, as always, the way I always line up these speakers and workshops, because I know it's going to be interesting, I never get to listen to any of them.
Oh, did you not video it?
Not live video in that aspect,
oh,
no.
Oh, that's a shame.
So I didn't get all that content to watch. But from the feedback and everything we've had, everyone, you know, really enjoyed it, which was great. So, yes, there will be a Tech Expo 2020. I'm just tired thinking about it. But it's something that's needed. It's niche. And I think that's the way to go with events now, is making them very much more niche and targeting specific areas that just helps people, things that people need help with. So, you know, hopefully once the big B word's out of the way and they get that sorted, and if everyone gets back to being normal again, then hopefully
if we can remember what that is,
we can be more focused. Yeah. And then, of course, on that day, you didn't make it because you were speaking at another event. Where was you?
I was in Southampton at the Aegeus, I think that's how you say it, Aegeus Bowl.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is, I think it's a cricket ground. It's actually really fantastic. Hilton Hotel, stunning hotel.
It's a nice venue there, isn't it?
Yeah, really great venue. speaking about wellbeing in the workplace for Tourism South East. And that went really well. Again, it had, I'd say, about 90 delegates. It wasn't huge,
but it was
a perfect size. A really engaging audience. And I think they enjoyed my talk, put it that way.
I'm sure they did. Yeah. And it was a different subject for you
Different subject, wasn't it? And you know what? Just like, I mean, subject aside and speaking aside, obviously I do that fairly often. But what I don't often do is speak in front of an audience where I don't know anybody. So coming out of Kent and going to like a brand new area was a little bit nerve-wracking. I can't lie, I've got to say that actually, you know, those when you first started networking, those kind of like you think, oh my gosh, yes. I actually don't know anyone.
Yeah.
Like, and then you think, actually, that could be a good thing. If it all goes horribly wrong.
I can run back to Kent and nobody can find
me. Nobody will know. There's no expectations. but, you know, reputations do supersede you. And as well, it's about event management. I had a few people come up to me because I also had a stand there. And they were like, yeah, I've come to see you. And I was like, really? You've come to see me? How bizarre. But again, you know, I think it was down to Tourism South East and the way that they promoted the event. Although I didn't see much on social media, they must have been sending mail to targeted mail. So for me, looking at events, I was like, wow, yeah, this thing works here. It's good.
It's good.
And putting yourself in uncomfortable situations, just, you know, outside of your comfort zone. I think I need to do that a little bit more again.
Do you reckon?
Yeah. Yeah. Because, often is it, Amanda, that if we go to an event, you don't know, like, I'm going to say a third of the room.
Oh, yeah. Well, especially event here.
Yeah.
You know most of the room, don't you?
Exactly. So, and if you don't know them, they might know or heard of you. Or you've spoken to them online or something. So it really is good to put yourself in that position where you're just a drop in the ocean again.
And that's the thing. I think a lot of people, you forget, you know, Surrey, Sussex, they're just next door.
Just next door.
They're not far away. And London's not far away. So it's, step out of that comfort zone. Go places, you meet different people, because that's the thing, you know, it's a great networking community here in Kent, and it's fantastic.
Wonderful.
But you do need to meet new people, because once everybody knows you,
they know you already
so then you need to go and meet those new people, go up to London, go across to Surrey and Sussex. So,
and it also made me very, not that I wasn't aware before, but reminded me how sort of newbies might feel coming into an environment. It just kind of made me a bit more aware, which speaking of that, yesterday I was at the King's Summit, at Canterbury, speaking there, which, you know, like half the room there anyway. And there were a few people that came up and they'd be like, you know, you're having a conversation with a few people and one lady came up and she's like, oh, do you mind if I join the conversation? And you can just see on her that she's nervous. She's walking into a room of people who clearly know each other and she doesn't know any of them. And it just reminded me, actually, that was me a few weeks ago. So, you know, I'm always nice, but be nicer.
Yeah, be nicer. Invite people in to join
you. Invite people. But just be more aware, I think, because you can get into the habit. I mean, Amanda, you and I are terrible, especially if we're in the same room together. Yeah. We're like, yeah, but we just want to have a natter. We don't actually want to talk about business.
Business, no, not that. Exactly. We're like, yeah, whatever.
What shoes have you got?
How
are the kids? Exactly. When are we meeting up again? So, it's just being mindful again that there are those people that it could be quite intimidating for them to walk into the room, and maybe just being my word of the month at the moment for myself is intentional.
Intentional. So
that is my word of the month. I'm being intentional about everything in my business at the moment. So being intentional about inviting people into your circle.
Fantastic. Well, and in fact, actually talking about networking and that nervousness, I can make a not so much secret, but an announcement that actually next year, where am I starting today? Next year, the Networkers Networking is coming back. The Networkers Networking event is coming back.
We need a drum roll.
The whole new refreshed look and focus. So I introduced it a couple of years ago and it was about introducing people to networking and how to get the best out of networking and to make it more beneficial. And so those points of being that, for new networkers. And that's the thing you tend to forget, don't you? There's people starting up businesses all the time. New people coming in. So it's always great to help them and educate them. And so us as long-term networkers, it's great for us to learn a few new tips on how to make the most out of networking. We don't network as often now. So, you know, how do you choose the right networking to go to and how do you learn from that? So yes, very excited. Lots of plans for next year for the Networkers Networking, which will be great. And also, so Friday, this time last week, where are we? 11:15. We're just getting set up for the Kent and Medway apprenticeship graduation ceremony at Rochester Cathedral. We had just over 100 apprentices who had graduated from their apprenticeships. We had 120 VIP guests and then all the guests of the apprentices. So we had just about 600-700 people in Rochester Cathedral. And Vexio and my team set up and ran the day. And I can say it was such an awesome day.
It looked awesome. I mean, you even had the weather. Did you arrange that?
Well, you know, I try to always arrange the weather. The only time I can't arrange the weather is whenever we're at the Kent Event Centre, because it always seems to rain when we're at the Kent Event Centre. But other than that, in fact, it was run so well. I am blowing my own trumpet here, but we finished an hour early.
This is brilliant.
It was overestimated. But the main thing and the main feedback was from the VIPs and those people take part is just to see the look on the apprentices' faces.
Do you know what? Even through the photographs, because I was following it on social media, but even through the photographs, they look so proud and pleased. And it's great that they can have that opportunity. And so that it's not seen as a second-rate qualification. You know, it's equal to any other qualification that you might do at college or even at university. And the other thing I noted through the photographs, which was really lovely, was I was looking at, because we know some of the people who have apprentices there, and it was nice to see their employers supporting them. Yeah. They looked a bit like mum and dad going with them. but, you know, that's their success as well.
Yeah,
they've taken on and invested in that person. Yes, they've had to pay them wages, and yes, they've had work in return, but they've invested in making sure that person is gaining the right skills in the workplace. So why shouldn't they partake in that celebration?
Exactly.
It was just lovely to see through a photograph.
It was just the whole atmosphere in the room. It was just lovely, everyone taking part and being part of it. And it was great. So, that's going to be an annual thing now.
And that was in collaboration with the FSB.
So the FSB was sort of the main instigator of it. And then they teamed up with a group of training providers, so Cato, the Education People, Lee Academies, I'm trying to think, a couple of the other team members. And they sort of formed a working group, as it were. And then they brought me in with Avexio to event manage it for them and bringing it all together and make, you know, what they wanted.
Brilliant collaboration.
And it was,
that's what we're saying about Kent Business, isn't it? Actually, we've just got such a great community.
They're collaborating and working together. And when you get it right, when you collaborate with the right people, then it's a perfect match. So Yeah, busy couple of weeks. In depth. And so obviously yesterday was the King Summit, which was at Canterbury, which is another big event that's just happened. So it's like time. I feel like, can we get to the end of the year? Let's stop. Let's rest. Let's recuperate.
Well, I've got another event coming up on the 1st of November. I'm speaking in London at See Her Thrive.
Oh, okay.
So that's just off Oxford Street. It's a breakfast for HR managers and directors. And I'm the guest speaker. And we're going to be talking about women's health.
Fantastic.
Which is a different topic again. Yeah. So, and I'm enjoying these different topics, actually. It's quite good. It's good for me to explore different things.
Exactly. It's refreshing, isn't it?
It's good for them, yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah. It's good. So much going on. But it's funny, isn't it? Because it does tend to slow down a little bit at this time of year for events. You've got your wind up. And, of course, then there's Christmas events.
Have you been invited to any Christmas parties yet?
No.
Oh,
I know.
Well, we'll have to have one.
So in trouble when you're like work for you, run your own business. I think we should organise a ladies' Christmas lunch for sure. We have had some tweets coming in on Twitter this morning. We've had Jobbers in Kent, Morning Gang, Bunker Extra, Gemma. Shout out, please, Romney Resource Careers Fair. I can't speak this morning. Careers Fair in Folkestone, sponsored by Jobs in Kent. Free to attend at the Grand Hotel Folkestone. Love that venue. So antiquated. It's brilliant. On the 23rd of October. So this is where it's a free to attend. We've got different employers are there exhibiting. So you could come along and find out what careers are out there. Start a new career. So it's on Wednesday, the 23rd of October from 10:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Grand Hotel Folkestone. If you follow... if you go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/Folkestone, it's got the full details there. And that's sponsored by Jobs in Kent. There's one here from Fruitworks Co-working. Hi, Amanda and Gemma. Shout out, please. Fruitworks Community Space in Canterbury is expanding. We have hot fixed desks and small private units. Get in touch. So, yeah, Fruitworks have just expanded.
I heard.
They've taken on more floor space.
Next door.
They've gone next door and everything. So brilliant. That's amazing. So, and it's a great place. It's a great community for people that want a hot desk or, you know, they've got fixed desks and units as well.
Yeah, Paul saying they've got a few smaller offices, which is needed, isn't it? Like, for instance, myself, we've got a two or three man office. And you do need that sometimes.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. Meeting a need.
Exactly. Well, that's the thing, isn't it? Like, you know, when you're a business, especially when you're a smaller business, you don't necessarily want to have the cost of buying your whole building yourself for offices. So you start off with your smaller offices. Obviously, you're based in Dragon, aren't you?
Yeah.
And Dragon have great space.
It just really works because... you know, and it was a cost when I did worry about it when I first took on the office because it was like, oh my goodness, I've gone from having barely any overheads to having staff and an office. But it really works. It pays for itself in terms of even the referrals that we get within the co-working space.
And yeah.
Roland was saying yesterday, because he was a panel member at the King Summit, that they've got over 80 people in there now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, they're not all there at once, but there's 80 members and that's about 50 or 60 businesses. When you look at that. So, you know, we all work together. Some people do the same thing. Some people do similar things, but it's just a good spirit. They're off to make some beer tonight and I can't go because I'm busy. At 2:30, they're getting the train.
Where are they going to make beer?
Somewhere in Kent. I don't remember because I can't go, so therefore I'm not interested.
They're not going to Shepherd Neame?
No, it's not Shepherd Neame. No. It's Iron something, I think.
Oh,
something along those lines. So, yeah, those kind of community outings and stuff are great.
Yeah. Well, talking of Dragon, then, they've got a couple of events coming up as well, haven't they? One's next week.
Oh, my goodness. So the one next week, Waffle. I mean, oh, I'm going to have to start eating carbs again just for this. It is my birthday week. So
it is, it's true.
So Waffle 9.0 is going to be sponsored by Folly's Face and Body Art. Liz Bylett, this is going to be fab.
Is she going to paint everybody?
I think she's going to paint some people. I don't know. I'm not sure we want to see everybody painted.
True. Some people shouldn't be painted.
Yeah, there's going to be food and there's some things you can't unsee. So that sounds mean, doesn't it?
It does sound mean. Guys, we are talking about you, not the ladies.
Yeah. So I think there will definitely be something. It's going to be a spooky special. She said it's going to be very Halloween-y.
Mm.
So it's a shame Lucy's at school because I think she'd quite enjoy that.
Yeah.
And then on the 1st of November, oh, that's 4 till 5.30, by the way. It's free to attend. You have to book, though. They like you to book. So you can either do it via the Facebook page, which is Dragon Co-working, or the website, if you type in Dragon
Co-working. Yeah, because they need to know how many waffles to cook.
Yeah, we don't want to be running out of waffles because that would be horrendous.
Oh, can you imagine?
That would be the Halloween nightmare. Yeah, would be the trick, not the trick.
No waffles left.
And then on the 1st of November, which is coming up quite quickly, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
November. Oh, my word. We've got Failure Night, which has another name we cannot mention on air.
Exactly.
That's going to be 7 p.m. till late. They're back with a great lineup of speakers to talk about their business failures, how to learn from them and how to avoid them for yourself. So, you know, like one of the things that Simon Teague was saying yesterday in the King's Summit is that Lewis Hamilton is known for being 5 times winner, something to do with racing. Yeah. But he's failed more times than he's won.
Yeah, but he was also a bit of known. He's not many people like Lewis Hamilton because he's a bit of an annoying personality. He's got one of the, he created, I think he's calmed down now, but when he first, his Formula One racing, when he started his Formula One racing career, he was very obnoxious. He was one of those very obnoxious.
We're doing really well on there today, Amanda, you know. This is why they need guests. We get the two of them together. It's awful.
We're talking.
But the point I was trying to make.
No, but we're just saying that. But he's changed and he's developed.
Yeah.
And he may have been world champion 5 times now, but he's been in it many years. And he's...
Yeah. And they say he's failed way more times than he has won. Mm-hmm. And those are the things that I think it's really easy to see people's successes. And we don't often talk about failure. Well, we do on the show. But
we always talk about failure on the show.
We do on the show. But in lots of other places, you don't see it, like on social media, etc. So that's going to be a good event. £20 ticket price, but that does include beers, local ciders, cocktails, and bands.
Any Prosecco?
And I don't know. We need to have a word.
These people keep forgetting. I keep saying, Roland, we need Prosecco on tap, please. If you're going to have beer on tap, we want Prosecco on tap.
They're also looking for a beer sponsor. So we will supply the beer and name it after your business. So,
there we go. Get in touch with Roland.
Roland, yeah.
That's great. I love it that within the communities there, they always have regular little events going on and that type of thing. So
it's good. It brings everybody together. Mm. I think it gets them out of their offices and you get to know people a bit better. And it's good. It gives you that, because we tend to be smaller businesses, it gives you that bigger feel without the politics and annoyances of having colleagues.
I like that. Which is something we will talk about in a minute when we're talking about HR and law. I have got one more event to shout out. Now, do you like taking photographs? Or are you any good at taking photographs, but you are not very good? Well, this is a little event for you, run and organised by the wonderful Jane Mucklow. Jane Mucklow Photography, who has done a lot of covering of my events in the past and does amazing photography. So I quite like her word in here. Are you secretly ashamed of your photos? Some people should be.
Is that what it says?
No, I added that some people should be.
Right,
here we go. I'll read the whole thing out because it makes more sense. You know you need on brand and beautiful photos for your social media, right? You need to capture the attention, stop the scroll and appeal to your ideal clients, build your brand, get your audience to engage in with you and wanting to buy. But you're secretly ashamed of your photos. Some people are. Some people should be. Do you want to make them look prettier? Do you waste hours fiddling with your setup of your phone, searching for stock images to use instead, or even thinking about paying a professional photographer? Yeah, so I just pay professional photographers. Yeah. But don't worry anymore, okay? Jane is going to show you how to use your phone to capture great photos. And that's one of the things as well. People think about photos of themselves, which is important. You need that on your social media. But whatever you do within your work, it's capturing photos of you at work.
Yeah.
So I'm quite fortunate that my industry is a photogenic industry and all of my events are photographed. So I have thousands, literally thousands of photos of events going on. So I can use all of those in all of my social media and on websites and everything, because I always make sure I have the copyright for them. But getting photographs is really, really important. So this is a 6-week, easy to follow info and examples, Facebook Lives. So it's a whole mixture of a course covering phone settings, using light, composition techniques, editing your phone, on your phone, and lots of tips for making different sorts of photos for your business, from flat lays to selfies. Not that I know what a flat lay is, but I'm sure Jane will explain that in the course. plus getting to know your brand and how to get it into your photos. So to find out more, if you go to www.pictureyourbrand.co.uk/basic-2-brilliant, use the code BBX at the website and check out for just £20. It's just £20.
That's a bargain, isn't
it's
it, really?
Amazing.
It's 6 weeks.
It's
well,
6 weeks course, so it's, you know, online and personal and all that type of thing. So go to Jane's website. They actually start on Monday, so get on there quick and check it out, because I think it's a fantastic course. You know, I take a lot of photos, but you can always learn new little tips that can just make a difference to the photos that you take. And I think it's really important to have, you know, how many times do you see really bad photos people have used on social media? It's terrible. People just remember the bad photo, not what it was promoting. So anyway, fantastic. So there's some events coming up for you to think about. We've got some shout outs. We're going to have a bit of music. Now, I chose this song today because it has been a very tough 10 months so far this year. I've got a lot of events going on. I've been working with a lot of people. And for me, the most important thing that's been keeping me going all year so far is my friends who have supported me and helped me and guided me, because without you lot, I wouldn't have been able to do it. So this song is for you guys.
You threw in life with all hope is flexible training solutions for the glass, glazing and wider construction industries. fitfortrade.co.uk. For occupational compliance...
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Rift Accounting, your small business bodyguard. Riftaccounting.com.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker Extra with Amanda Flanders.
And welcome back. We're still here, just about. Me and Gemma are feeling very tired today, aren't we, Gemma? We're like...
We are.
Oh, we're exhausted. Mm. Is it trouble being busy all the time? And I've actually had a week off work, but I haven't actually had a week off work because you never have a full week off work, because I have been in bits. But I've also been at the stables every day looking after my horse and a poorly horse. And I'm absolutely exhausted.
It's tiring.
It's, yeah. It's I think the cold weather and the rain and everything.
And the darker mornings.
And everything has an impact. Mm. So, but we've got some really lively things to talk about now.
Have we?
I'm okay. Hoping you have.
What should we talk about?
I purposefully wanted to do a co-host spotlight this week because you're always in every month and we never focus on you and what you do. And as... people know, Gemma is a HR and employment law specialist, lawyer. She's a speaker. And you know what? She's probably one of the very few speakers on her subject who is actually really interesting to listen to.
Thank you.
Well, you are. And I always should just say, you know, when I first started my business, I was like, okay, I'll focus on accountants and lawyers because, you know, their events are always boring and you want to make them more interesting. But whenever you speak, it's never boring, but you get the information across. And, you know, it's such an important subject. Whenever I hear you speak, I'm always like, oh my God.
Yeah. Aha moment.
Exactly. You're like, okay. Mm-hmm. And even down to little things like I've been working a lot with students over the last couple of months with the events. Mm-hmm. Obviously, running the big events, I need big teams to work with. So I've North Kent College contacted me and asked me if I could give a work experience to their students that are doing hospitality and event management. And I've had some volunteers that have helped, which is fantastic. And you always want to give them something. You always are like, thank you so much. And you want to give them something.
Yeah. And Gemma goes, don't do that.
And exactly. And then in my back of my mind, Gemma going, no, don't do that. So even let's just look at that. Why, if somebody volunteers to help you, why shouldn't you give them money as a reward?
Yeah. So it's really difficult because I think at the crux of it, we're all really good people and we appreciate what they've done and we like to be appreciated. So you want to pass that on. So the idea of it isn't bad, but in practice, the moment you start to give somebody something, you've done something in law, we call it consideration. So essentially, you've created a contract, you've offered them something and they've accepted it. You've created a contract. They then potentially could be seen as an employee and you've not paid the minimum wage because you might have given them £10
like,
or 20
oh
quid.
My God.
And then all of a sudden they go, oh, well, you know, I've done like 2 weeks work here. Thank you for this £50, but where's the 700? So, yeah, it's just not a good idea. I mean, what I do say is with volunteers, you can, if you want to, give expenses. But then even with that, you've got to make sure that only the expense is covered.
But that's good. That's another thing, isn't it? You said to me before, I covered somebody's train fare. And you said, just make sure it's exactly
the
that train fare.
Like down to the pence. Mm. Make sure it's the train fare. Take the ticket. Gives them the train fare. If someone else got the bus, they only get the bus fare. There might be a difference in the price, in what they get. But you've just got to make sure that all you're doing is reimbursing them rather than paying them. So, yeah.
Because in law, if you give them monetary, even if it's...
It's not just monetary. So money is one thing. The other thing that people don't often think about is offering them a job. So people go, oh, you know, if you do this and it's really, really good at the end of it, then we'll give you a job. That's an offer in itself. You might not have exchanged anything physically, but you've created that offer.
Really?
And they've accepted it, yeah. So I'm full of good news.
Well, but you know, but as I said, news. It's stuff that you don't even
you need to know,
even think about, and people not maliciously, just out of complete,
you know, I think,
ignorance.
Yeah,
I guess
that's
and
what it is. It's ignorance isn't bliss. I remember once I did a Facebook Live on is ignorance bliss, and it's not really because it can get you into a lot of trouble. And there's no need to fear either. I'm not about trying to create a fear culture. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep having your volunteers. Have your work experience. Did it myself earlier in the year, as you know. But just make sure that you're well informed, or you've got somebody to ask, so that you know what you're doing. This is as much about what you can do as well as what you can't do.
Well, that's the thing. And I remember from a few years ago when you ran a series of little events, and how many laws are for the employee?
So for the employee, so at any one time, an employee can bring 84 employment claims against you. It used to be 83, so it's now 84. An employer can bring 0. So, you know, it just, you know, it's a little bit unfair.
Just a little bit unfair.
A little bit unfair. And, you know, I can't see that balance being redressed anytime soon.
And is that a good thing, though? Are the government being really unfair on employers?
The thing about it is worker rights, you know, if we go back sort of 30 years, there were very little worker rights, and that's why we had all of these unions and things, and they campaigned and they worked really hard to try and get some rights in place, and there definitely needed to be some, because, you know, with everybody there's always good and there's bad, and there were some people that were taken advantage. The problem is, though, that it isn't a balance, in my view. It isn't a balance, and also some small businesses just can't manage. And, you know, I think that if the government are listening, if you're listening,
are you listening? Yeah, well, we always have the government listening. You know that, you know, one of our regular listeners.
Yeah, if you're listening, you need to think about the fact that, especially for smaller businesses. So I'm talking, you know, those businesses that have 50 staff and less. Because when they say SMEs, they talk about those with under 250 staff, but that incorporates some larger organisations, in my view. But when we're talking about businesses that have, like, micro businesses, for instance, that have 5 employees, you know, they can't manage all of these different things, and I think we need to give some regard to that, because it's making it quite difficult, and it creates this fear. And the amount of people that I've come across while I've been out networking or masterminding or whatever, and they go, I just never want to be an employer. My whole business model is around never having an employee. And I go to them, that's great, but what happens when you can't do the work yourself?
That's it, isn't
you know,
it?
Have you got a business, or are you self-employed? And they go, no, I just don't want that nightmare. Yeah, the very most I might have some contractors working for me.
But even contractors can be a whole new minefield.
Even that's a whole talk in itself. But, you know, I think it's a shame that people have to feel that way, or people do feel that way, because as small businesses, we're contributing to the economy. Like, we contribute more to the economy, the working environment, than a lot of the larger business organisations.
Very much so these days.
You know, I think we could do with a bit of support here.
Yes, and the government will rewrite the laws.
Yeah, not all at once though.
No, thank you. Keep up.
A lot of reading.
I mean, how often do the laws change?
They're changing all the time.
Constantly.
So, yeah, like literally, yeah, all the time. The thing is that there's two ways in which laws are made. The one way is through statute. So that's through Parliament and getting papers through and getting things agreed and passed. And we can tell that that takes some time.
Yes.
You know, sometimes it doesn't happen in the way that it should do. But the other way, and the thing that changes it more often, is through case law. So everything's okay until somebody challenges it, you know. And but I'm always mindful, there's things that you can see as an employment law specialist that you go, that's not going to work for very long. Somebody's going to challenge that, and then there's going to be a problem. And so what happens is an employee, or maybe not an employee, will challenge something, and then they'll take it to a higher court, and that becomes law. But of course, when that happens, unless there's a big newspaper article about it and you've taken the time to read it, or it's been flagged up in your search or something, you won't know.
No.
So I just did my employment law updates course beginning of the month.
Yeah.
I can't believe that was still beginning. Was it last month? I can't remember.
It was last month.
It was last month.
It was September.
It's all blurring into one. And one of the things we spoke about was a case with a doctor, Dr. Narayan. And Dr. Narayan was a contractor. He had his own limited company. And I'm saying here, I actually don't know whether he's a man or a woman. I've just made this up.
But the doctor.
But the doctor was providing services to other GP practices under a limited company. So up until this case, I'd be like, well, if you're a limited company, you're definitely going to qualify for being self-employed, or at least employed by the company rather than the GP practice, the person you're providing the services to. Because I've had cases in the past where a judge has gone, don't even try it. Like, you know, if they're getting tax benefits and all of this stuff under limited company, they can't now say they're an employee. Well, one judge decided to just, you know, go against the grain and said, actually, I think they are an employee or at least a worker, because a company can't be a doctor, and therefore a company cannot can't do the services that a doctor can do. So this Dr. Narayan, who was doing services for this GP practice, and it was over a long time as well, which didn't help. And they said, oh, no, he's an employee. So now this other company's got to go and pay him, this GP practice has got to pay him holiday pay and all these other things. You know,
that's just ridiculous.
And, where did we see that? That wasn't even, you know, it wasn't in the news. It wasn't.
No.
It might have been in the news, but it wasn't anything that was really kind of on the front pages of anything.
No.
Or prolific. And you wouldn't know that unless you sign up to my newsletters.
I love your newsletters.
A little plug there.
I want to like your newsletters. They've come through, but they're email newsletters.
Yeah. But, you know, in truth, I say that in jest. But in truth, and you wouldn't know that. Why would you know? And if you're running a business, or even if you're not running a business and you are the manager, why would you know that? It's your job to know, but you cannot possibly keep up, which is where I click.
Well, that's the thing, and that this sort of highlights why it's so important. Mm. When you're by yourself, you haven't got to worry about anybody else. But as soon as you start, whether it be volunteers or employing people or whatever.
Yes, exactly. I mean, one of the things that when we did the Lunch and Learn, we did it in collaboration with Hawksafe, who are a health and safety company. They're consultants and trainers. And one of the things that Andy Haith said is, it is the law that you have a health and safety policy if you have more than 5 people in your business. And even, I don't mean 5 employees. I mean, even if you have 1 employee and 4 self-employed contractors, you've still got to have a health and safety policy. And that is the things that people don't think about.
No. Well, I taking on these work experience students, that college asked me for my health and safety
policy.
I was like,
oops.
Okay, I need to get a health and safety policy sorted out.
I'll be back within a minute.
Which I did sort out one, which is fine. Yeah. But again, I wouldn't even have thought about having a health and safety policy.
And ultimately, you know, the thing is, I think these things, they do make us better when we go through. I've been through some processes myself recently, but having a health and safety policy, even though it's just you, Amanda, you might think, well, I don't need one, it's just me, it's fine. But actually, it probably made you think when you had a read through it or you put it together yourself that, oh yeah, we need to be mindful of this and we need to be mindful of that and we need to have processes for X, Y, Z.
But that's the thing, isn't it?
So it makes it better in
exactly.
the long run.
And again, it's just one of those extra things as a small business owner that you're like, oh, something else you have to do.
Yeah.
But
it's quite hard. I had a new client come on board this morning. He was saying to me, I've got this business. It's only been going 6 weeks. I've sort of got 20-odd staff. But I haven't got a huge budget. I'd love to have all of the policies you're offering, but I haven't got a huge budget. So what do you need? So I've created an essentials package, which just gives you just what you need legally. And then afterwards, you can build on that if you like. And that's what we need, is an essential. People need to know what's essential.
Well, exactly.
They can build on the other stuff.
You have to know what you need, basically, just to cover yourself. Because it's just 84. If you employ somebody, there's 84 different ways that they could sue you.
Yeah.
basically. Or get you into trouble. Yeah. You just don't need that, do you? Yeah, no wonder people are scared of employing people.
Yeah.
But then, as you say, you don't need to be scared. You just need to know.
You just need to know.
Or need somebody.
Someone that you can contact or have things in place. I mean, one of our business has really developed in the past 12 months, I'd say. One of the things that we're now doing, which we're not, so I need to redo my website and all of our copy because it's all out of date now.
Yes, always. Every 3 to 4 months you should update your website.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. I've done it for 2 years.
It's
been 2 years.
Yeah, it's time to do it again. I know quite a few web development people these days.
Yeah. It's sitting down to do the copy and thinking about what needs to go in there. That's the problem. One of the things that we're now offering our clients, because we work with clients in a number of ways, and we try and keep things simple. So it's a bit like pick and mix. You can either work with us ad hoc, as and when you need us. And then there are those clients that think, actually, no, I just want to know that I can contact you if I want every month without having to worry about a big bill. So there are support clients, or some people call them retained clients. And we've got an additional service, which is where we've partnered with a legal expenses insurance company. So that just gives them that added security that if, for whatever reason, someone did bring a claim against them, the insurance company would kick in. they'd pay for the representation.
Good. So I didn't even know that existed.
If they lost, the insurance company will pay for the award. If they settle and the insurance company agrees they should settle, the insurance company will pay for the settlement. So that's an additional service that we're now adding to, we've added to our packages.
Those insurance people get everywhere, don't they?
They get everywhere. To be honest, I did have to search higher because it was something that I knew I wanted within our business to kind of just give it that extra, you know, nudge. And we don't enforce that people have it, but we give them the option. We've got a few clients that are like, yeah.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? Again, it's something else to, if you've got that peace of mind that
exactly that
you know, you employ people, you've got a HR person in place. But even if you've got that HR person in place or support from a company like yourself, it doesn't prevent things happening.
It doesn't,
but hopefully reduces the risk.
It reduces the risk, and you know, we do have to remember that since the government again, since the courts actually scrapped tribunal fees for the second time. For employees, there's no risk. They can bring the claim themselves. They don't have to be represented. The judge will bend over backwards to make sure they can represent themselves. There's lots of no-win, no-fee lawyers out there that will do it for them. And then you as the employer, you bear all this burden. So even though you might be 100% in the right, just having that claim against you is stressful. And it takes away from your resources, because even if you've got somebody representing you and they're doing all the work, they still need information from you. It's a bit like the website. I can give my website to somebody to do, but I still physically have to tell them what needs to go on
exactly
there.
Exactly, and what content
the
there.
Content, and it's just like that. So, you know, having that extra protection with that insurance, that indemnity policy, or insurance policy, just gives you extra peace of mind. But again, we treat people like adults. So if you don't want to have it, that's absolutely fine.
Yeah, exactly.
But if you want it, then we'll provide it for you. That's how we've evolved.
So what is the most ridiculous claim against an employer you've ever had or dealt with?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I've not been asked that.
Are you allowed
before,
to say
honestly.
If it's ridiculous or not? Maybe
I don't know. I mean, I'd have to have some thoughts about that. Why we don't, you can tell we don't prepare for
this. We're very prepared.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the most ridiculous thing is, but people will bring a claim just because they can. Actually, the most ridiculous one, which was years and years ago before I ever started my business, was somebody wanted to, they didn't get the job and they wanted their bus fare, and it came to something like £20 reimbursed for going to the interview. They're like, you wasted my time. And we're like, get lost. The problem is, though, you know, for that £20, this wasn't even an employee. So this would-be employee wanted this £20 reimbursed for not getting the job, and it cost the employer like hundreds of pounds to go and get advice.
Really?
Yeah.
See, that's just this crazy world we live in. You just want to go, you know what? Go away.
Go away.
You're not having your £20.
Exactly.
You didn't get the job. Get over it.
Well, that's what they should have said.
Yeah. Would they have been able to do that, though?
Well, you can do it. And again, you've got to weigh up the risk. It's treat people like adults. You can say go away and see if they do go away. Or they might not go away, and therefore they'll bring a claim. They're never going to win that claim, but you have got the added stress and cost and the time that you've spent defending this claim. And people know that, you know, that's why they, not all of them, some people do have valid claims, but a lot of people know that. And that's why they'll bring a claim against you, because you'll settle it just to kind of,
just go away.
Yeah, just go away.
Yeah, it's 20 pound. Leave me alone. That's funny. And I guess, as you say, that person just felt aggrieved. And you're always going to get that. You're always going to get that small-minded person.
You're always going to get it. And you get some people that are serial litigants. They just, you know, literally will go from place to place trying to get money. That's how they make their money.
Really?
Yeah. I remember there was one lady. She was a hairdresser. She was a Muslim lady, so she wore a hijab. And, you know, they'd like, we want to see your hair. Every hairdresser she went to, they're like, but, you know, can we see your hair? I don't know why they need to see your hair, because you don't have to have good hair to be a hairdresser.
You can have good hair without being hairdressers.
But she'd sued seven hairdressers. And when she came to us, we were the seventh hairdresser. Unfortunately, she sat in front of the same judge she sat in front of three times. And he was like, this is ridiculous. Stop it. No. He was like, this is just ridiculous. Why does this keep happening? So yeah, you do. You get a serial litigant.
And I guess with her, and she was playing the whole Muslim hijab
religion
card against.
Yeah, Well, you know, as I said, you don't have to have good hair. So perhaps it wasn't the most fair way, but 7 times, but you know, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah. So who's, okay, I could picture this now. Okay. So she's gone in for the interview. Interview's going fine. And then they've turned around and gone, can we see your hair, please? She, right.
No.
Go to court.
Yeah, exactly.
Ding. Another one.
Exactly.
And what sort of payouts would she have got, though?
Well, I don't, it was discrimination, isn't it? And the truth, the fact is discrimination is unlimited, but the truth is you probably wouldn't get an unlimited claim.
Mm.
So something under $5,000. But, you know, $5,000,
Exactly. Hello.
Not bad, is it?
Anyone else thinking of a new career here?
Yeah, and then I think there's one that I mentioned before where, and I see, actually, this has happened more than once, not this exact circumstance, but where people say, I'm not disabled, and they get really offended when you say, I think you might be disabled. And then they bring a claim for disability discrimination against you.
He said, hello.
Yeah. The one that really sticks to mind is there was a lady, she worked in a nursery. She was 4'7". She had dwarfism. And the nursery was inside a community centre. So they had to be really careful because there were people that they didn't know in the community centre. Mm. So they had to be really extra careful. And the laws around childcare, looking after children, is you must have 2 locks on the door, so one at the bottom and one at the top. And this lady, they'd asked her on the question, they'd asked her once she started work, do you think you're disabled? And she said, no, I'm not disabled, I'm just like anybody else. Okay, fine. And the children were trying to get out. She's got 3 and 4 year olds. It was more preschool rather than like babies. And she'd stand on the chair to try and, the employee would stand on the chair to try and unlock the door to let the children out. Children are really clever, so they started copying and standing on chairs. So they said, no, you mustn't do that. So the next time she'd get a broom and she'd kind of be like, it's something that I would have to do, you know, like jumping and
yeah, like, try and do it.
Like me, I kind of kneel on the kitchen countertops to get into my top cupboards at home. So she's doing that, and they thought, like we've told you already, you can't do that, because if you do that, the children are copying and then they're not safe. We've got 1 3-year-old kind of doing a Rugrats mission here, you know.
Yes, I'm gonna
get out. And so they removed her from that duty. She brought a claim for disability discrimination and said that, you know, they were singling her out. And it was like, but the children are not safe.
Yeah,
and also, you said you weren't disabled. We asked you.
Yeah.
And then you bring a disability discrimination claim and, you know, she won.
Has it got worse over the years? Because you hear of the whole thing, people suing everybody for everything these days. Have you seen it get worse, or has it always been the same?
It's always been quite prolific. It slowed down when they brought in fees, because people weren't doing the whole bus fare claim to think about the fact that they had to, even though they'd get reimbursed if they won, but it just made them think about, do I actually want to do that? And then once they dropped the fees again, everything's gone through the roof again. So it has gotten worse in that sense. And there definitely just needs to be some clarity with some other laws. You know?
Why did they take away the fees again? Is that reduced down the
unions campaigned against it. So the unions brought several court cases
against
it, said it was unlawful because it was causing a barrier to access to justice.
It's crazy, isn't it? It's a crazy world that we live in.
Oh my God.
I've just seen quick. I know, look at that. We've now come to the end of the show. But you know, it is really an interesting topic. If you look, you know, pull it right back to the bones.
Well, I think so, you know.
But you make it interesting. But I think, as you say, it's that ping moments. That's whether you're employing somebody, having somebody volunteer to help you or anything like that. It's just, you know what, if you're not sure, ask an expert.
Yeah.
And personally, you are the best expert to ask, I believe. So we have come to the end of another show. We have actually had fun. It's been good to have a good conversation, a good catch up. We did have a shout out from Chips and Dinks, who said, have a great show. Great to have you back. Great to have you guys. I need to call Tony out. Got a little bit of a stone chip on my car.
Oh, dear.
I know. I'm just going to go quick more look if we've got any more tweets. I don't think so. So we will be back next week. I'm joined in the studio next week by co-host Julie Daniels. We've got another great guest lined up. Have a great weekend, everybody. Stay warm and dry, which I won't be either because I'm at the stables all weekend. And we'll be back next week. Speak to you soon. Bye for now.
Bye.
The Business Bunker Extra with Amanda Flanders. This is Channel 2.